Something that I wish I knew or that I really took in was just throwing yourself out there. Like, don't be scared, because I was like living in this fear that no one was gonna like my work. But then how would I have known that if I didn't throw my work out there?
Welcome to the Passion Behind the Art Show. It's all about diving in with individuals to learn the story behind their passion. It's your host, Daryl Pinner.
It's another week, another amazing guest, and another opportunity for me to bring you value through someone else's story. So without further ado, let's jump into this week's episode.
Well, I am excited to have Shelly Kim on the Passion Behind the Art Show. She's just been killing it, and I definitely want to hear her story and how she got started. Shelly, welcome.
Awesome, Daryl. Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited, and I can't wait to just share everything about like why I started and my journey as well.
Awesome. So, well, let's jump right into it. How did Shelly's journey start?
My journey started. So my story slightly changes like every time I tell the story, but if I can share my story now, it started back in 2015 when I used to work at an insurance company. I was an insurance agent, helping people with their insurance policies. So during the time, I thought that was an amazing job because I felt that, I don't know what I was trying to do, but I felt that I understood what I was doing within my work. And then I got comfortable and everything started to fall into place when then one day it didn't. Because when sometimes when you become like a good worker, like you get more responsibilities and a lot of pressures. So I started to feel that, and I started to feel that I wasn't as happy as I thought I would be in this position. So during that time, I remember going to, I guess like during lunchtime, I would always be on my phone thinking about like, what can I do? Because I feel that I'm not doing what I wanted to do at the insurance agent or the insurance job. So I started to look on Instagram and look at hashtags. I was looking at hashtags on like being happy, like positive affirmations. So when I first started to stumble upon that, I got like all these amazing quotes. I would print them out and just decorate my cubicle. That was like the overall reason why I started. And one day when I was looking up the hashtags during my lunch break, I fell I came across calligraphy and typography and hand lettering. So what happened was I found a quote that I really liked. I don't remember what quote it was, but I started to look at this person's account, and I realized that everything was done by their hand, and they were like designing their own lettering pieces. And I just thought how amazing it was, how amazing that something that you've been gifted and you've just been like practicing at, you can actually achieve. So when I first saw it, I thought how amazing it would be if I started to learn how to do like different typography fonts and calligraphy to just like write my own positive affirmations. But then I also told myself that it was like impossible and really hard. So maybe I just shouldn't do it at all. So I was like pondering on this idea for the longest time, and I didn't know when exactly would be the right time. Like, there's no right timing if you want to get into a hobby. So I remember telling my boyfriend, now fiance at the time, that I really wanted to like learn calligraphy and do this like really beautiful art form, but I just can't do it. And his advice to me was, you haven't even like tried it yet. Just give it a try. Like, if you don't do well, then just practice. Like, you never know. So I didn't take his advice. I just said, no, I'm just going to like see it from afar and just like admire it. So then that's what I did. I still kept working. And during my lunch breaks, I would like look at all these like Instagram accounts that had like typography, hand lettering designs. And I was like, oh, this is so beautiful. I'm like so happy that they're so talented. But then one day, I just told my boyfriend and now fiance, like, you know what? I just need to just try it out. So then I wanted to order these like brush pens to get started. But doing calligraphy, there's like so many brands out there, so many supplies. Well, I didn't know like what pens to buy. He wanted to gift some to me, so he did the best ones and all that nonsense. But after like maybe like 6 months in trying to explore this beautiful art form, I found the perfect brands for me that worked out. And I was able just to start writing like positive affirmations. But what happened was it was hard to get started. So I was like dabbling into it for the longest time until I finally realized that there is a technique behind calligraphy. So I practiced that for I guess like maybe like couple months. And then I started to like form my own lettering style and like writing positive affirmations. So the overall goal was to learn this art to basically help me be distracted away from work, help me also like learn this beautiful art form so I can decorate my cubicle with positive affirmations. That was like the overall goal of why I wanted to get started in the first place. What I didn't know was that getting started into this beautiful art form really changed my life in a way where I was like happy again. I was no longer thinking about work all the time. So I guess like a quick thing to like share about why like working at the insurance, like why I started to get more stressful is because I took in like all the overtime. Like I basically wanted to work like more hours. So I did. So I put in more overtime work. I also would work on the weekends, and I just felt like it was consuming my life because work was so comfortable to me. I only knew how to I only knew to work. So I just invested my time completely into that. But what ended up happening, because I was so invested, even after work, I would talk about work. Even on the weekends, people would ask me, like, oh, like, how's your day going? I would talk about work all over again. It was a hot mess. I just talked about work so much to the point where I don't think anyone cared about what I did as, like, at my insurance. I just couldn't, like, stop talking about it. So then doing calligraphy really opened my heart into understanding that there's like other things in life that I should appreciate and really be involved in. So doing calligraphy was like just like it like broke my whole like transition from, okay, work is work. And now when I get home, I can focus on myself and what I want to do. So that is my long story why I started the first place, but I felt that it's important because I feel like a lot of people can resonate with that whole idea. If work is consuming their own lives, you know, what can they do differently? So that's what I did. And I'm glad that I found this hobby that definitely I ended up quitting my insurance job and then I pursued art full time. So that transition was really scary and just it was a hot mess at the time because I didn't know what I was trying to do. But I'm glad that I made that that transition.
Nice. Where did you grow up?
Where did I grow up? Like what city?
Did you grow up in California?
Yeah. So I've always lived in California. Yeah. So I've always, yeah. That didn't change. Why does it sound like I know? I guess I moved within California to like multiple like cities. Like I always lived in the suburbs growing up, and then I moved during college. I moved into like the Orange County area, and then that's where I did my schooling. And then when I started working, I moved to Los Angeles.
Okay, cool. I was just curious.
But always California. I've always dreamed about like living in New York, but then I don't know. I just feel like it's like also like a scary transition and it's so cold out there, but New York is, it definitely holds a special place in my heart.
It is cold. I grew up in New York. It is cold.
Oh yeah. But I don't know. I like how lively it is. Like in LA, I think like by like 7 PM, like no one's outside. So I'm like, where did everyone go? Yeah. Yeah, but whenever we visited New York, I always like love that everyone's true. Just like full of energy and everyone's just out there.
Yeah, this is like it literally doesn't sleep.
Yeah, it really doesn't. I remember last time my fiance and I we flew in really late, like around midnight. Still lively. It was like amazing. So
I love that place. I just wish the weather was different.
Yeah, the weather. The first time I went to New York, I didn't know about the snowstorms. It was a blizzard happening, so I had no idea. And then we flew in, our flight kept getting canceled, and I was like, no, we can't cancel. Oh my goodness, what are we gonna do? So then that was my first experience in New York when it was snowing and it was just really cold. And then when I went to New York again last year, it was during the summertime. I didn't know New York got so hot.
Yes.
So it was really humid in the summer, but I brought a lot of my winter gear thinking that it was snowing. Oh, man. So that was an experience. And then we went again in October. October, I was told it was a nice season to go.
Nah, that's cool. So I'm just curious. I guess there's people out there that love insurance that much, but I've never met someone that was so enamored by selling insurance. Like, what was it that got you into insurance?
Because I didn't know what to do with my degree. So then I studied psychology. So then when I was looking at different jobs, I was like, oh, I don't want to become a psychologist. I don't want to go to grad school. So I was like, what can I do? Let's look for like a people person job.
Oh, gotcha.
So then that's when insurance came up. I was like, oh, that sounds like a cool job. So during, like, before I took that jump, like, I was, I think I was, like, helping. I totally forgot about it, but I was working part-time at, like, a permit company where I was helping approve permits, like, within the city. So that was something I didn't know what I was doing, but I took that job. I guess the insurance, I wasn't selling it, which is why I think I enjoyed it. I was helping them. I was helping people understand their policies. So it was a little bit different where I was helping them understand like their whole insurance policies, not necessarily what was covered, but I guess like helping answer like different like scenario questions, or also helping just like answer any questions they had about letters they got. And
That's interesting, because like when you said insurance, like I automatically thought like you're someone selling insurance, which usually it's like it's not that. But now that you explain like what your actual role was, now I get it. Like I get where you were getting a reward.
It was definitely rewarding for me, just because insurance was something that was always like a gray area. I didn't understand it. Every time I would get like the letters in the mail, I would just like glance over them thinking like, what did I just read? So with that, when I decided to work there, I was like, I'll learn everything about my insurance policy, like about insurance, you know, why they matter. So it was more of like an educational turn that I wanted to make out of it. But then also helping people was really rewarding, because then I guess like if I could think about what type of job it would be, it would just to be helping others and helping them in life any way possible.
Makes sense. I get it. It makes sense. So now you've gotten this break. You know, you were up to here with your job and just mental overload. You needed this break. You need this something to break you free.
Yeah.
Now you've broken free. You're doing this as a hobby. Like, you said you quit your job, so that means you were starting to make something from this. Like, how did that start? What was that looking like at that time, the early stages of like, okay, I'm actually making revenue from this?
So the thing is, when I quit, I wasn't even sure what I was trying to do with my like artwork designs. Like I had no clue. But then it got to the point where, like, because work consumed my own life and I just kept talking about it all the time, I was like confiding with my fiance, just like explaining to him like how stressful that I was. So he is actually the one who told me to encouraged me to leave my job. So when he said that, I was like, I can't leave my job. Like, I only know how to work. Like, I don't know what else to do. If I don't work, then what's gonna happen? But then he was like, I think you just need to like really have time to yourself and like really like de-stress from everything. But I didn't take his advice. I kept working. And then maybe like 4 months later, I then realized that like it wasn't healthy for me. It wasn't healthy for like my own happiness. And that's when I took that leap to leave. And when I did leave, I started thinking about, you know, I really love calligraphy. I just wanted to do what made me happy. So at the time, that's what made me happy, doing art. So then I opened up my first Etsy shop during that, also the same period. So my Etsy shop was definitely, it was interesting, because a lot of people would ask me like, oh, they want like they asked me to like if I can sell my artwork or if they can buy it off of me. So I was like, oh, like Etsy's gonna be like a great, you know, transition for me. But opening up an Etsy shop, like things that people didn't tell me was that it's hard to like make that first sale. It's hard to like get orders in. So then that was a whole other transition in terms of how can I really cash these people's audiences. So what helped me understand what I wanted to do with my artwork was like that following year, what could I have focused on? Like, what do I want to do exactly within calligraphy? What type of like, I guess like what market do I want to reach? So every year has been a different focus for me. And that's what I feel that I feel like that's like a good way for other people to just kind of like keep their goals in mind and like really like seek a challenge, because I feel like if you're doing the same thing over and over again, you know, it does become repetitive. And if you want like a little bit of a challenge, push yourself a little bit more.
I like that. Like just every year you had like a different focus on who you were trying to reach and how you're going to do that. That's pretty cool. So now you're doing this Etsy shop. How did these books come about? Like, did you just jump from the Etsy shop to the books?
No, it didn't. So what ended up happening with like all these like transitions was, so first when I did that Etsy shop, I like threw myself out there, threw my work out there. And then I really honestly, like, people like have like their mixed feelings about social media, but like Instagram really changed my life because it helped me connect with other individuals that was also trying to pursue this full time. It really helped me connect with other companies and businesses that also wanted to work with me. So I feel like that's when that transition like happened. Like right when I like left my full time job, like a blessing happened where I just like started like, I had like an energy to like post as much as I can. And then one thing that I wanted to do within my Instagram was like sharing process video, is like sharing exactly how the work is done and like basically offering tips that I could offer. And I feel like that really just like drove the attention where people were also had the same questions, but maybe couldn't find them. Cause I know for me, resources at the time back in 2015 it was really hard. It was something that wasn't really readily available. So Instagram really changed my life in a way where it helped me get noticed by other companies. And like, that's where the whole book offer happened as well.
Okay, cool. So they reached out to you.
Yeah, they reached out to me. Cause then honestly, for the longest time, I didn't think that, I was taking baby steps so much that I was even like thinking about like publishing something or doing something like super different or out there. So that was actually, they reached out to me back in 2016. So it was like a year after I started this whole thing, and then it didn't get published till 2017. So like I was working with them for quite some time. So the first thing I published, it was my modern calligraphy and Art Deco instructional tins, where they're like flashcards of each of the letters, and it shows you like a step-by-step transition on how to do everything. So though, like those ideas we brainstormed together, but they noticed me because they said that they really enjoyed my work and they thought it was nice. So it was like an interesting transition. Like I didn't know exactly, like, I guess like at the time I was like really excited, but then I was like, but what if it doesn't work out? Then what's going to happen? But you know what? I just tell anyone, if it doesn't work out, then it doesn't. At least you know that you tried, and just, I guess, try to focus on the positive, because you never know.
That's true. And you know that was the first one you did. I that's like so unique. Like, I don't think I've ever seen any book that's relating to lettering that's like that. Nothing.
Thank you. Yeah. No, like I am like so like honored and like so like blessed by the opportunity. So that really like was like a Kickstarter for my transition in terms of thinking, okay, like maybe, you know, like this is something that people want to learn. So that's when it kind of like just like opened my eyes. So then I mean, I'll be honest, building that relationship with that publisher, it's been really great, because I have a third book coming out with them. So yay, that's nice. That's coming out in August. So this August. So it's not like instructional cards, but for this it's like in a book form where it talks about like basically getting started with lettering, how to digitize your work within that, and also how to work with the iPad. So that's something that we've been working on for a long time. So I'm really excited that it's finally going to be official soon. Yay.
That is like crazy. So it's just like you're taking these steps, doing these side projects, you're building your Etsy shop, and then out of nowhere you're like, okay, I'm about to write a book.
Yeah. Honestly, I know it happened, but then in my heart, I'm still amazed by like all these opportunities that have come my way. And I just feel like for myself, like I can be hard on myself. So I tend to forget about these like things that I was able to create. So yeah, I'm honored that it like all of this happened. So
That's cool. So what would you say was the hardest thing that you had to overcome through this process?
The hardest thing for me was one of the hardest transitions that I knew that I could just remember was basically like leaving my job and really just like really considering this to be full time, because I feel like when you tell like people that you left your job to pursue art, I guess I wouldn't even know how to respond to that, like, but I just, the whole like when I thought people would be excited for me, I think they were very confused. Then those are the struggles, because it wasn't for me, it wasn't like where I was unhappy with anything, but when I would tell like all these people, like my friends and family, I just felt that I wasn't getting the most like support, maybe because fear, like maybe like they're, you know, scared for me, because I'm scared for myself. I don't know if it's going to work out, but that's like a jump that I was willing to take. So I was fearful of like what other people might think of me, or fearful of what exactly am I doing? If people like, if I were to catch up with old friends and they're asking like, what exactly are you doing? Cause that's like a common question that I'm sure that they're curious about. So then that whole transition for me, it was really nerve-wracking, and basically like, even like till this day, like, I mean, I don't get questions about like, oh, like when are you going to like find like a career, but I mean, I know that people are really happy with like everything that I put out there and have done, because basically I took initiative where I like worked with companies and I did all these things. But I think like, yeah, so I think like in terms of the support, it came later on. Like I'm sure they're all happy for me too, but then during those times where I felt like I was kind of like alone, like that's when like Instagram was like really a lifesaver to me, because I met other people that understood and I was able to relate with.
It makes sense. So who would you say were the people that gave you support, or who were the your support system then and even now?
My support system was like the number one person, of course, is my fiance Richard. He was never like doubtful of any of this, like because okay, like a little bit about me, I tend to get into a lot of hobbies and I tend to invest a lot of money into them and then forget about it. So that's I'll be honest. So doing calligraphy, like he never like questioned it. He was just like, if that really makes you happy, I want you to be happy, so let's just give it a try. So then he was always supportive, like from the very beginning and now too. He's always you know, like asking like what's the next steps and like what can he do to help and everything. So he's my number one supporter and help with like any of this and all that I do also. Like for example, like when I go to like all my workshops on the weekends, he comes with me, he helps me set up, and he engages with my like he talks to my students also. So it's like really amazing to have a partner who can be supportive and like really just like also wants to like invest their time into like learning what you do and everything.
That is such an amazing, I know that gotta be like an amazing feeling, like to now be able to share this with him after he's been there when it was like basically just a simple little hobby.
Yeah. No, he's been told, like, my rock through all of this because, yeah, like, doing this whole transition, it's been, like, very scary where I was like, what if, like, I put out courses or I do something and what if no one will like it? And he's just always reminding me, like, you know, just do it. Like, don't focus on, like, any of that because I don't know. Yeah. So then, so he's my number one within all of this. But then I have to be honest too. I was surprised when I got a lot of support from my dad too. My dad and my brother have been really supportive. Like they're really excited about like anything that I do within, calligraphy. They're like, whenever I see my dad during the weekends, he's always asking, oh, like, how was your workshop? Like, how many students did you have? Do you have pictures? So it's really nice and, like, really different to, like, hear that from him because he was, like, one of the people that I was scared to tell that I left my job for this. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's such an awesome. I could imagine the feeling just, you know, especially, you know, you're probably a daddy's girl.
I'm not.
So... You know, to have... You're not?
No, I'm not. I'm not, but... I'm like... My dad and I, like, we've had, like, an interesting relationship, but he's someone that I do respect.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. You know, it's always good when you can get that. Especially if, like, in the back of your mind, you're thinking, like, this is a person that... may not be too into what this direction and then come to find out that they are. It just does so much for you.
And then I think for him, I knew that he would understand too in a sense because he opened up his own clothing store and a lot of my family members are also entrepreneurs too. So
okay, that's cool. So it kind of runs in the blood a little bit.
I hope so, but but when I asked my dad for help, he was like, "Oh, you figure it out." Oh. Yeah, so I was like, "Oh, okay." Well, it's so hard, but I mean, it all worked out.
All right, so yeah. I think we've covered some of. All right, so I want to get some of the different ways how now this hobby is bringing revenue. So we have the books.
Mm-hmm.
We have the workshops.
Yeah, the workshops are, for me, workshops are so amazing because I love to like connect with other people and all that fun stuff. So with that, I still have my Etsy going also. So one thing that I love to like kind of like give advice on is that like basically doing digital downloads of anything. I feel that, you know, like online courses are great, which I partake and I have published a couple of them. So basically like online courses are a great way to learn any art form, but also like providing like a digital download form of like my workbooks, for example, have been super great because it's just like a one-time purchase. And yeah, that's basically, it's not really passive income, but then it is because, you know, it's just all based on digital download. So I have a few books. Basically it's my workbooks and a few like practice pages to learn calligraphy that I transitioned to do digital downloads only. I do have like the hard copy books also, so I do sell them occasionally. Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. So there's workshops, physical books, and digital books and worksheets.
Mm-hmm.
What else brings in revenue? Any other kind of
for that? So. For me, I always wanted to like work with other companies. So that was basically it was a dream that I had, but I didn't know how to do that. So one advice that I love to give people is, you know, just throw yourself out there. Just ask. It doesn't hurt to ask. And like basically if you get a response, no, then it's no. But if they're on board, then how awesome is that? Trust me, like I've reached out to so many companies that I would dream of working with, getting no emails back from them, but it's okay. Cause then, I guess if they're not on the same page, then you'd want to go find those companies that really believe in the work that you do, and they would want to work with you. So throwing my work out there and like also like repping other companies as well. So one of the other ways that I really focused on last year was basically working with companies and building these like partnerships and like how to make products out of that. So I don't know if you want me to just share them, but I can.
Sure.
Awesome. So one of the companies that I've always like I've had like a long-term relationship with that I've worked with for some time is Ranger Inc. So Ranger Inc. last year they asked me to like basically publish together stamps. They wanted my designs and they want to turn them into stamps that they now sell at like Michael's and Hobby Lobby, which I am so honored. But
nice.
Working with them, it was a way for me to like throw my work out there, get exposure, and also that there was an incentive that of course they gave me to get my art designs. Yeah.
Nice. That's cool.
So that's like something that I was like super excited about, and it amazes me that the opportunity actually did happen. And also with that, one of my friends always like tell me that I should do this. I haven't done it just yet. I missed the last deadline, but basically they were advising me to submit my work through like I guess like online print shops that would take your designs. They can convert them into like birthday cards, or like wedding invitations. So there's like a lot of print companies like Mixbook and Minted. So basically, like for example, Minted has like their campaigns where they will run. They'll take in like a lot of designs from like different artists, and like if you win, then you get like a huge incentive out of that. So all these opportunities, I feel like they're out there. They exist. It's just a matter of if you're going to invest the time into it to submit your artworks. So that is something on my to-do list. But then I've also have worked with Mixbook, which is also an online print shop. So last year I did like holiday designs with them.
Okay, cool. It's good to hear these different ways of using your art, because usually people, we're kind of just set, okay, it's client work. You may do some posters, you may do some, or you maybe do a book. But like, there's so much different ways on how to use your art to bring in revenue, especially the ones where you don't have to trade your time for money. Those are like usually the best ones.
No, I mean, like, I think, like, I mean, like, I'm so amazed because there are, like, so many things that you can do with your art form, and, like, a lot of people do different things with them. So I think it's just exciting for me to, like, find, oh, like, what transitions can I do within my artwork, and what can I do to, I guess, like, how can I work with other companies, too?
Cool. So what is that thing that Shelly cannot live without? That's not her phone.
Yes. That. Oh. I thought some, okay, this question, because then there's like so many things that I want to like, you know, that I recommend, but if I had to come down to just like thinking about it, is basically it would be like a pencil and paper. Because then I feel like if you want to create art, like just like anywhere, that's all you really need to like brainstorm your ideas, you know, start that. Because then and I feel like those whatever you have, like, or the pencil and paper that you have, you can really like have some ideas and you can bring them to life.
That's cool. So what's the first hour of your day like?
It's been all over the place, but since because I just came back from Asia, and it was a hard transition to like, I was so jet lagged. But right now at this time, I've been focusing on ways to just like make myself happy, and how can I focus on myself in the beginning of the day. So right when I wake up, I'll usually make time. We'll make breakfast. My fiance and I will make breakfast together and really just like sit down and enjoy that. And then we'll make coffee. But then within the first hour, though, like, nice. Even though I want all this, like, me time, I know that I am guilty. I check my emails, too. I check my emails, like, right before I'm about to cook something, or I'll check my emails, like, right when I'm eating. So I do check my emails because I'm excited to see, you know, what I can do for that following day. And I'm excited to see, I guess what emails come, if they do. They usually, like,
that's cool.
Some mornings, like, there is no email, so it's my time to, like, draft emails to maybe a potential client that I want to work with or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's cool. That's cool. That's cool. Any book recommendations?
So with books, honestly, like, I have a lot of favorites, and I don't like, not that I don't like recommending, but basically, like, my recommendation might not best fit your needs. So I can't really answer that because I feel like I have so many favorites. So I just, that's a hard one.
Do you have a top three? No pressure.
I know, it's a lot of pressure. Maybe, I actually think about it. No, there are like so many books. It can't be three. It's like more like 10.
Okay, cool. All right, so let's do this. You send me this list of 10.
I will send. Okay.
And I'll post it in the show notes.
Okay, sounds good.
Shelly's tab. All right.
Sounds good. Okay. I'll really do that.
So you really started this in 2015 and it's now 2019. What would you attribute your growth to between that span of time? Especially like on Instagram.
Yeah. So I think like, so during that whole transition, I mean, it was definitely a crazy period on like what I wanted to do, what type of work that I wanted to do also. But basically this is like, I mean, the best advice that I can give, is basically being your true self, like really throwing yourself out there. You know, like sharing all moments, not just like all the good moments or like all the accomplishments, but also share the struggles, the obstacles and challenges that you do face. I feel like when we start to resonate that own voice, people start to, you know, they're able to relate with you. So within that period, but then the thing is, I was very like, I was always to myself, where I didn't know how much information I wanted to put out on social media, because social media, I mean, it's like having a lot of your information or your personal information out there can be a scary thing. But, so in the beginning, I really didn't share anything about me. Like, I don't think people knew what I look like. So that was like one thing that I was kind of like, trying to balance. I wasn't sure how much I wanted to put out there. But then the minute I did, I started getting such great feedback because people were able to relate with me and really just like feel like the struggles that I face too.
Okay. That makes sense. That makes sense. That makes sense. So what is next for Shelly? What's next?
So this year, honestly, it's been kind of like, I guess last year was also like a scary year, but this year was also like, it's like transitioning into a scary year because I'm like, it's already 2019, it's already February. Like, what exactly, like, do I want to do? Because every year I focus on like goals and like, I focus on like what I want to do. I guess because last year I did a lot of workshops in different countries and I basically did it at different states. And that was my one of my main goals. And I also wanted to basically like see how I can collaborate with like different companies. So this year it's been like a scary transition because I feel like last year was such a great year. Like, how can I really like, what can I do this year to be different? Cause I don't want to just do the same things. But I guess one thing that I do have to share is, yeah, my book is coming out in August, of this year. So I'm super excited about that. But the other, thing that I will be doing this year, basically in March, I'm going to be speaking at the Alt Summit, speaking about why,
nice.
Supporting other business, like other small businesses can really contribute to your own success as a small business as well. So I'm super excited because usually I'm the one always like attending like a conference and I'm never really speaking at any of them. So it was definitely something like scary that I wanted to, or like something like different that I wanted to do.
That's cool. That's cool.
But yeah.
Yeah. I'm there with y'all. I'll be speaking at, like, I've spoken before, but this is my first conference that I'm going to be speaking at this year, at the end of the year.
Yeah. Oh, very cool. Is it going to be also in your hometown or?
It's close, about 2 hours away. Yeah. It's going to be in, about 2 hours away. Yeah. So it's pretty cool. So you did, I just have a question because you said you did a lot of workshops last year. Like, how did you go about setting that up?
Workshops? So my, like, one thing that I love to do is basically, like, I guess I'll give, like, a good example. Last year, my workshop that I did in Texas, what I did was I connected with other, like, local venues that also hosted workshops. So that's usually, like, a great way for me to, like, if I want to host a workshop, working with other companies, that do workshops like on the weekends, who basically people know that they do workshops there. So that was one thing. But the thing is, not every like state that I've been to have that. So my other thing that I usually do is I look on Peerspace, peerspace.com. So Peerspace, they're basically like, it's amazing just to like check out. They have like different like venue sites that you can rent out for like per hour, and it's like really, really neat. So my last June I did my workshop in San Francisco, which is like, okay, it's in California, I know, but I couldn't find a workshop venue, so I used Peerspace, and they were like amazing to work with because I was able to like find my workshop venue very fast. Yeah.
Nice. That's cool.
And then I'm actually going to Georgia this year in April. I'm going to be teaching at the Pinners Conference, but I'm also going to do like my private workshops, and I use Peerspace again. So it's good just to like have different options. Yeah, but that's really nice. What I do. I usually set that up by going that direction. I'll have like my fiance help me if it's going to be like a long back and forth conversation. But usually when I work with like other small like businesses who have like their own like workshop space, we'll jump on like a Skype call or like a phone call, kind of like share the ideas and go from there.
That's awesome. So what advice would you have for anyone that's out there that is already doing creative stuff or would like to start? What advice would you have for them?
My advice, that something that I wish I knew or that I really took in was just throwing yourself out there. Like, don't be scared, because I was like living in this fear that no one was going to like my work. But then how would I have known that if I didn't throw my work out there? So basically throwing your, like, I guess for my Instagram, I was like afraid to like show my friends and family, because I was like thinking like, what if they think it's like not really nice? Like I didn't see myself as an artistic person before. So I made my own like separate Instagram page where no one could find me. But then I started getting like all this like amazing like feedback. But I think one thing that I did enjoy with that process was that if you are like serious about throwing your work out there, making your own separate Instagram account like away from like your personal account, because you're able to grow like really true followers and organic following people that really want to see your work.
Right. Nice.
So, yeah, so that's one thing. And one thing that I do recommend that I wish I did like at the very, very beginning is basically having a website out there. Basically, the minute I published my website, that's when I got offers from like different companies that wanted to work with me. I guess that was like the way that I got talking about like what else that I do. I also do like calligraphy as well for like certain companies. They'll have like their own like event where they like they'll invite like their own clients. So last year I worked with Chase Bank, and basically it was like a small like event that they were hosting, but they wanted a live calligrapher on site to personalize journals for their clients. Yeah, so cool. That was one way just to get so like those type of opportunities. They'll find my website and they'll reach out to me that way as well.
Okay.
So one thing that I recommend is basically putting out your work, putting out your website layout, basically sharing all the stuff that you have done, what type of work that you're willing to do. So that way, when they're able to find you, it's not just through like an Instagram message, but they're able to say, reach out to you, and it'll go straight to your inbox. Cause I know that I don't always check my Instagram messages.
Makes sense. Well, yeah. Shelly, this has been awesome. Like, you're just so humble and so like super nice. I'm just excited by everything that you're doing. I'm excited about the book, and it's great to meet the person behind the art.
Oh, thank you so much, Daryl. No, honestly, when you reached out to me that you wanted to like interview me and everything, I was like, oh, this is exciting for me, because I don't get to share my story a lot. So for me to like at least help an individual or an artist struggling about like what transitions that they should do, like, I'm always happy to help, and I'm a firm believer in always like giving back. So if anyone listening out there has any questions, just email me, because I feel like I wish I had like someone to like reach out to, like if I had any questions or like what to do. I wish that opportunity existed when I was making those changes.
Yeah. Well, thanks for coming on. I really appreciate it. You've been awesome. Thanks for doing this.
Awesome. No, thanks for having me. It's been a true pleasure. And yeah.
So where can people go to find you, learn about what you're doing, all that good stuff?
My website, lettersbyshells.com. It's also Letters by Shells on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube as well.
Nice. Well, thanks again.
Thank you, Daryl, for having me. Appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode. I hope it's been super valuable to you, and you're now ready to take your audience building, your community growing, to the next level, to help you and help me build our empire, for lack of a better word, or just to build our thing. Remember to stop by iTunes, Passion Behind the Art, and leave a review and subscribe. It's very important to me. It helps the podcast grow, and it makes me feel good to kind of hear from you guys, to know what you like about this podcast, what it's done for you. So jump on iTunes and subscribe and leave a review. Passion Behind the Art. Be blessed.